Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. God's grace be with you tonight from Jesus, God's Son. Amen. Some come to Christmas Eve service like this in order to fulfill a tradition because they come to church once a year on Christmas Eve and Easter. And if this is your case tonight, I'm glad you're here. But this is not why we're here, to celebrate a tradition. Others tonight are getting ready for Santa Claus, but that's not why we're here either. And others are just breathing a big sigh of relief that all that holiday shopping is finally done. And you may be doing that, but that's not why we're here either tonight. We're here tonight to celebrate a birth. The birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is a birthday celebration. I'd like to share with you a lantern from my boat, which I have. Some of you who have been on the boat might recognize this. This is a lamp that hangs below decks. And you'll notice it's made of brass, but it's kind of tarnished. It's been weathered. It's got a greenish tint over it. It's got a stain right there on it. It's weathered over probably 30 years of not being polished. Sometimes Christmas becomes like this to us. It gets tarnished, it loses its luster, it loses its shine, it loses its excitement, it loses the golden glow that's supposed to be all about it. Is that the case, perhaps, with you tonight? Because we get all kinds of things that just get all over Christmas. And it's fun, it's good stuff, but it can get in the way. Lights and Christmas trees and running this way and that and parties and eggnog can all end up putting a coating upon our faith and over the joys of Christmas. But the good news is that just like with this lamp, all it takes is a little polishing to turn that dull patina into a refined golden glow again. Same thing with Christmas. What I'd like to do with you tonight then is to polish our faith together so that we can return to the true joy of what this whole season is really about, Jesus Christ. It's about his birth. And it's a very unusual and special birth. How is that birth unique? How is it special? And how does it change us? That's what we're talking about tonight. So let me begin by talking about births in general here. How many babies are born a year, do you think? Go ahead. Well, there's one right there. That's praise God. How many babies on the earth? Millions. Good guess. 133 million. You know, God gave a first command, be fruitful and multiply. And even though the world pretty much disregards every other command of God, that one we seem to get pretty well. 133 million a year. 490,000 babies are born a day. 247 a minute. Four every second. You know what that means? That means during the course of this sermon, there'll be about 5,000 babies born. And if I happen to be long-winded, as happens from time to time, we may get another 1,000 births out of it. But somewhere right now, this very instant, there's a woman crying out in pangs of birth for delivery. And somewhere right now, there's a baby crying, just entering into this world, saying, what's happened to me? And these births are to be celebrated, to be sure. But what makes this birth tonight that we're celebrating Jesus' birth special? How does it change us? Why is it so unique? Let's talk about that. Well, number one, this birth is unique in that it was foretold. Let me read you again just a little bit of what God says about this birth according to Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people, Israel. This is a prophecy. Told us where Jesus was to be born. This is unique. There was a woman in late November I saw on the news. Perhaps you remember this. She stepped off an airplane at the airport, and she gave birth in an airport bathroom. She didn't expect that. Nobody expected that, and oftentimes babies are born in unexpected places, and they come in a way that is not seen, foreseen. But Jesus' birth tonight was foretold 800 years before he came. They were able to pinpoint and say, guess what town it's going to be? Bethlehem. That's where you're to look for God's ruler to be born, in the city of David. Is that a unique birth? If so, if you believe Jesus' birth was unique and that it was foretold by God, then say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're already polishing this faith this season. Not only with that, but Jesus' whole life was prophesied. Isaiah 9 tells he was going to minister in Galilee. Isaiah 61, he'd open the eyes of the blind, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the mute would sing. Psalm 2 says God was going to have a son on this very earth. In Genesis 49, that he'd be born in the tribe of Judah. In Jeremiah 23, according to the line and descendants of David. Zechariah 9, that he'd come into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah 11, that he'd be sold and betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That he'd suffer rejection, die for our sins, and be raised from the dead. Isaiah 53, and bring eternal life to all who would call upon him, according to Joel chapter 2, 32. Is this a unique child? This is a unique baby that was born, different from all the others that were ever born on this earth. For who can say that their birth was foretold in sacred scripture for thousands of years? If you believe again that he is foretold, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so there's another special thing about this birth. It's born of a virgin. One mother, one human mother. Let's read about that. In Matthew chapter 1, once again here, we read, beginning at verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his Mary mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, an angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. There it is again. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not. He did what? He knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. I'd say that's pretty unique. Amongst all the people, everybody I see out there, in fact, I love my daughter Naomi. She's 11 years old. She's the joy of my life. Totally. Just, I'm in love with her. And in her birth, Beth carried the main labor of that. 9 long months of effort in bringing Naomi into this world. But I think if you asked her tonight, she would attest that I did have something to do with that. A small part, maybe, but nevertheless, something to do with it. And it's the same thing with each and every one of us. Everybody comes into this world by a father and a mother, a man and a woman joined in physical union. But this one, Jesus, was unique among all the world, born of a virgin because he was to be God's own son here on this earth to save us. So if you believe that's a special thing, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're polishing that up a little bit more. Let's take a look at something else. How about birth announcements? You ever have an announcement for your baby and send cards to everybody else? I was looking on the internet. I found this website where they'll help you do that. And it was called Chic Birth Announcements Give Your Child a Grand Debut. That's pretty cool. I like cards. Well, look at what Jesus' birth was like in Luke chapter 2. What kind of birth announcement did he have? And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's a pretty good birth announcement, wouldn't you say? How many of you have that? I like these cards that come out with. You open it up and you get the theme for Rocky or Superman or Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But here, you got angels, the host of heaven, praising God. This is a special child. This is the reason for the season. Not tinsel and lights, as happy as they may be. If you believe then that this is a special birth, a chic birth announcement, where it gives Jesus a grand debut, say amen. Amen. We're polishing that faith, praise God. It's announced by angels. And another thing that makes it unique is that it was a lowly birth. You know, even our children here that are born, they're born in a hospital a lot of times or in an airport bathroom, but it's still not bad. But Jesus, in his lowly birth, it was announced not to kings, but announced to shepherds. And Jesus was born near the lowest place on planet Earth. Did you know that? The Dead Sea is only a few miles from Bethlehem. It's the lowest dry earth on the face of the whole globe of this place we call Earth. That's where he was born. God is coming into the lowest parts of our planet, 1,400 feet below sea level, only a few miles away. It's a Dead Sea where nothing lived. Is born the life of the world, Jesus, in the lowliest of towns of Judah. In Bethlehem, I mean, this is a town where if you are entering in, there's a sign that says, Welcome to Bethlehem. Don't blink or you'll miss it. There's nothing to boast about this town, except that once long ago, there was a babe born there named David. But Christ is to be born here. And he was born, and he's placed, there was no place for them at the inn. He didn't stay at the Radisson. He was born in a stable, in a cave. There were no plush blankets, but fragments of scraps of clothing. And he wasn't placed in a crib like our children, or even the children in those days, but in a place where animals ate food out of, a manger. There was no one else ever like this, ever. Shepherds were told to look for the babe, and these were the conditions. They knew it was going to be him, because no other babes had this kind of surroundings. Luther said he was born amongst the beasts. And just next door in an inn, or so, there was a man in there willing to have himself called Lord. And yet here's the Lord of life born amongst the beasts, amongst the lowest. And this shows that God chooses the low in the world to shame and bring down that which is high. So if you have a lowly and a humble king tonight, say amen. Amen. I'm going to have a few more babies born unless you say that a little louder. I'm going to wax long-winded here. Do you believe your king is a lowly, humble king?
Amen.
Amen. There's no other birth that made Satan tremble. You know, there's a lot of people born on the earth. Satan never shakes in his boots. The kingdoms of darkness do not quake and fail and get faint of heart because of a baby born in this world. But of this baby, while the rest of the world was sleeping and didn't think much of it, the whole kingdom of darkness was trembling, for they knew who this guy was. This was the Prince of Heaven. They knew Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus was casting out demons, when he was in Galilee, they said, I know you. I know who you are. They were afraid of him, because this is the one with the power to deliver us. And that's why Satan inspired Herod to have all the children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, slain. Terminated, exterminated, done away with, annihilated, because he was afraid of this baby. He was trying to get rid of him, but an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he took the child Jesus and his mother to Egypt until the death of Herod. And meanwhile, the heavenly angels are singing praises. I think that should give us an indication that something really special is going on here in the birth of Jesus Christ. Their burning eyes are astounded at this wonder. Are yours? It was also in a unique birth then, in that this is God's own son on earth. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that great? that God wants to be with you? Stop and think about that for a minute, okay? God wants to be with you. And he wants you to be with him. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. And this babe was born to rule. It says in Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, says, I'll tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I'll make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Jesus was born to rule the earth, to reign. And each year it seems like there's more and more hatred in our society, in our culture against Christ. Used to be you could say, Merry Christmas, and people didn't get all in a huff about it. They'd be happy if you said, Merry Mass, as long as you take the Christ part out of it. But I've even heard tell of a story in Cape Canaveral this year where someone had a nativity scene on their front lawn and they were intimidated to remove it. But I'll tell you something. One day every knee is going to bow to this child we're remembering tonight. We're worshiping. One day every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And of that day, a Lutheran commentator once wrote, his name was Kretzmann, he said, they will not see Christ again until the day when he returns in glory. And when even his enemies, who will then be completely confounded, will have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Then their lips, for the chattering of their teeth, will hardly be able to form the words, and their heart will utter curses and imprecations, but they'll have to acknowledge him whom they killed as Lord of all. He is King. But also, my goodness, he is a Savior King. I want you to rejoice in this with me tonight, for it's good news that I'm sharing with you of great joy, which comes to all the peoples. For unto you, think about those words for a second with me, would you? Unto you, unto you, unto you, unto you is born, says the angels. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Unto you. You know what? We're all going to die one day. Each and every one of us, if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetimes. That's the result of sin. The scriptures testify that the whole world is in the clutches of an evil one. But unto you is born a Savior, a deliverer from death and all the power of evil, a great joy to all the peoples. And this message declared by angels was declared to Mary, to Joseph, to Zechariah, to the shepherds, and it's declared tonight to you through the Holy Spirit within me. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. That includes you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is unique in how all these things work together to bring together God's perfect plan of all the years. To you is born this day. Is this a joy to you? Is it a joy to you? Say amen.
Amen.
Polish your faith in these things. And the world tonight, a lot of people are just treating this as just any other birth. Just another man. As if they could not give it another thought. And I'm afraid history is repeating itself. For once long ago, Jesus came and was looking for a place at the inn, and there was no place for him, for them, at the inn. And I looked on the news just the other day, 2 days ago, on the internet. I searched Drudge Report, Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, and CBS, and I was searching for one mention of Christmas this year. Usually there's a lot of fighting about it. This year, silence, for the most part. Except one article I found that says, nothing says Christmas like a family photo with Santa and an AK-47. That's it! But is there room in your hearts today, in the inn of your heart, for this Jesus, this Christ child, born to be your Savior? Jesus came to bring you salvation, friends. For the law was given through Moses, terror and fear. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Through him we've received grace upon grace. God's kindness, for it says in 1 Timothy, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. Have you received him tonight? Have you believed in him as your Lord and Savior? Have you made a place in the inn of your heart for this Christ child? If so, if not, then repent and believe right now. It's good news of great joy. And if you have, I have another good news for you tonight. His birth, his unique birth, means your birth, that you've been born again in Christ Jesus. It says he came to his own home and his own people received him not, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Children of God. And if you've believed, you're born again as a child of God, of the same heavenly Father as Jesus Christ, and you're saved. And so now your birth is foretold in sacred scripture. Your birth was talked about by the angels ahead of time. Your birth brings good news of great joy to a heavenly kingdom. For Jesus says, I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. And he has borne our sins on the cross. He has borne away our iniquities. And through him we have salvation, so that we can live in lowliness like he. And yet you are kings, says Scripture. And with a company of angels, full of joy, not afraid, and saved. So as God came to be with us, so now we can be with God. Yeah, just a little polish is all we need to turn a tarnished faith into a shining faith. And with this lamp, all we need is just a little bit of polish to turn it into a shining and glowing lamp. May this be your faith. May this be your Christmas joy tonight. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Amen.